Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 339. Josh, let me get through it because he's enthralled with the new previews catalog.
Enthralled. What is going on here?
I don't know, something about, he was very excited about the Gremlins pops and the, and the things. You got me a little bit after the fact.
It's Hellraiser.
Yeah, little, the bobbleheads for Karate Kid. It's like female Hellraiser with pin boobs.
Well, they're like, it's opened up. It's
okay, I'm not looking. Thanks. So we got to
know what's under the nipple.
I do not. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. But we have a full house. Everybody's here. So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Pat,
Dave 2,
Dave 1.
Wow, two Daves. So full house. I'm getting ready to hightail it down to Baltimore on Thursday. So sadly, you're going to hear this after I've already been back from Baltimore. Holy cow. But because
I'm
not
holy cowing
the One Piece portrait of pirates third anniversary,
that's something
not found in nature. But I'm going down. Comics Pro is putting on an event, a 1 day nuts and bolts kind of workshop thing. For local,
which do you prefer, the nuts or the bolts?
Local retailers and people, you know, that are doing the show, setting up to come down and, you know, maybe learn something. It's about 6 hours of programming we're doing the day before the Baltimore Comic Con starts, and one of the panels is Ask the Board. So I figured since I'm only 4 hours away, there's really no reason for me not to go.
It's good you're going.
With everything else that's been going on, I couldn't commit to, you know, working on one of the panels and talking, but I'm happy to go, and
what is that?
I don't even know what that is.
There's cell phone stands.
That are the back half of women.
You sell some wacky stuff here.
I don't sell that. Diamond offers it.
You sell it. If I said,
I do not.
If I said I would like to buy this, you would sell it to me.
I absolutely would.
So that's the definition of you selling it.
Fair enough, but I don't carry it for the store.
No, you don't carry the stock.
I would special order anything for anyone, and I do special order some things for anything available. Yeah,
interesting.
I order some odd stuff. So,
what's the oddest thing you've ever had to order someone?
Oh, you don't go there.
No, I want to know. You don't have to name the name of the person or even the time frame. What's the oddest thing?
Matt,
the
are you still here?
Item?
Come here. Come here.
Is it for? Was it his?
No.
So guess contribution to the podcast here. Old time podcaster.
Josh asked. We were looking through the previews and got to some very odd Japanese things. What is the oddest thing I've ever ordered for the store?
The large Batwoman costume?
No, I believe it was Catwoman costume. Oh. Or no, it was Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Yes. Okay. A guy had ordered a large Black Widow costume.
And then you made me get it out of the closet.
I think you were just working that day.
We were both here.
Oh, were we? Okay.
Do you think he needed it for Halloween?
Well, we didn't know if it was for him. Or for
a doll?
Yeah. So that was probably the strangest thing
I've ever had
to order.
I was expecting a stranger.
Yeah.
Well, he ordered some very strange things from the back Chinese or the Japanese section. But that was the one that made us all kind of go, yeah. So
nice. First podcast question, either way.
There you go. There you go. So, news-wise, I'm sure we'll get to the big story later during reviews.
It's not that big.
It was a sizable story.
I was impressed.
Well-defined story.
Yes. Although his weight was more confusing.
Yeah. That must be like a freaking ton of muscle there.
Yeah, like way too much. But
it's all in the dick.
wasn't that impressive. Yeah, I don't remember any other news. I'm kind of blanking out. I've had a really weird week.
Spencer, you said there's some casting news for...
I forgot what their names were already, but they cast Black Canary and Huntress for the Birds of Prey movie that they're working on, so...
I saw today they pushed back the Hellboy movie to April 2019.
Oh,
which actually, that's earlier than I thought it was coming out anyways. I didn't think it was coming out that soon.
Yeah.
Well, that's like I saw somewhere Venom originally? Is next week.
Yeah. What's that?
Venom's
yeah.
next
yeah,
week?
It's
really?
The
yeah.
fifth, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so far behind. I still haven't watched Deadpool 2 or Ant-Man and the Wasp. I haven't watched Luke Cage yet. I haven't watched... I didn't even know that Iron Fist Season 2 is coming out. And
it's out. I've already watched
Yeah, I know. It's like...
October 19th, Daredevil comes out.
Yeah, I went to watch something else, and it's like, here's the trailer. Watch it now. I was like, what? How am I so far behind?
You know, Walking Dead and all the DC shows are going to be starting up soon, too.
Yeah.
Doctor Who, if you're into...
I remember when season started in September.
Yeah.
No more.
People went back to school, and new shows started.
Yeah.
You see the trailer for Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Gen 1, Soundwave, and Shockwave, Ravage.
The only thing I have a problem with, because this Bumblebee movie takes place before all the other movies, correct?
Yes.
So why does Optimus Prime look like a big
Gen
rig?
Gen 1?
Yeah.
Well, why does Soundwave look like...
I agree. Why does he look like that?
Because it's awesome. Who cares?
I agree, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But if it's supposed to be in the same continuity as other movies, in that first movie, Michael Bay movie, we saw them look like these, you know, just robots and then scan a vehicle and turn into that vehicle.
Well, even in the original cartoon, that is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they crashed on Earth.
Because they looked different. Like, Optimus Prime was still like a truck, but he was a different, like a...
it was like a Cybertronian type truck or... I think all the Decepticons were still planes, too, but they were different.
I think Soundwave looked like some sort of like satellite or something.
Yeah, something like that.
The Cybertron games that were on, like, the last-gen consoles did a pretty good job of, showing how all those characters looked.
Okay.
Back then. But, yeah, that's what I saw. I was like, wait, what, how does this fit in the timeline? Because why does he look like an Earth truck if he's never been to Earth yet?
Care.
But yeah, you're right. They look awesome. Soundwave looking like actual Soundwave looks awesome.
The voice. They have to do the voice, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. That's a minor thing.
Yeah, but it's not. Like with him, I care more about that than what he transforms into. Like, when they had him in the second one, and he was a satellite, I'd have been okay with that. Just give him the voice.
But no, the trailer looked fun. There was like some comics and diversity shit with Captain Marvel, where like people were bent out of shape that she wasn't smiling.
Oh, really?
Enough in the trailer, so they started like photoshopping on.
Yeah, I saw
her smiling, and then she went and like redid all the posters from other Marvel movies and like photoshopped on a smile to like the male, you know, protagonist.
And they were creepy too.
But they were super creepy. But good for her. F those guys.
She needs to smile more. I would say if she smiles while she's killing people, she's
that
kind
would
of
be
a
creepy.
Psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they like their women just to be pretty and smiling and not really do anything else.
Okay, well, it's not even like, has Black Widow smiled at all during any of the Marvel movies, really?
A couple times.
Yeah, I think she does smile when she kills people.
Well, I mean, well, that's a little different.
When she looks at the Hulk.
Yeah.
Tell if you want to look at you, Dave. Banner, huh? Tell if you want to look at you, Dave.
I thought she was looking at the Hulk going,
get bigger
find someone
if I make
who
you
looks
mad,
at
right?
you the way Black Widow looks at the Hulk.
Now, mind you, he said that at the very end, so...
not fully in. It's only like 9/10 of the way there.
I can only look better with the help from the bottle.
Sun's getting real low.
This is taking an odd twist.
Tis.
Any questions?
Yes, we did have. Well, I forwarded you guys an email about one.
Yeah.
I included you, Dave. Not Spencer, because Spencer won't share his email.
Yeah.
True story. Okay. Here's one from me.
From me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's from me.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Other than Batman, what characters would you like to see in DC's Black Label?
Animal Man.
Hell yeah. Good answer, Spencer. That's a good answer. It's perfect.
Yes.
Animal Man. Yeah. Did he say there's some sort of Swamp Thing in Black Label, or is that...
I don't remember hearing that.
I was thinking that, too. I was thinking Swamp Thing, but I was like, it's been a while for an Ant-Man.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I do appreciate that they haven't just, tried to do some, crappy thing with him, but, yeah, it's been too long.
Red Hood.
Batmite.
Batmite. That could be interesting.
No.
You would read it. You know you would.
Oh, yeah. I'd read any of the Black Label. I'm very intrigued. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much anything anybody wants to do, I think.
Deathstroke could be
can
interesting.
Be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the idea behind it is just getting great creators on to do whatever they want, with no rules, obviously.
Well, if they did, a Starfire book, Black Label, it would just be called Lookers.
Yeah, I don't think that would be good.
You have to be careful where you give them artistic license.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I think actually Animal Man, I think you won that question, Spencer.
Yay.
Which artist or writer is going to be the next superstar?
Next superstar?
That's hard to say.
What do they mean by superstar?
Like, who's going to become the next Scott Snyder? Is how I guess or interpret it. Or the next Donny Cates, since he's one that just recently became pretty big.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's Joshua just it. Williams. Consider him.
No, he's already there. I think.
You think he's?
Yeah, I think like yeah.
See, I figured him.
He probably has the name recognition of Scott Snyder or even maybe a Donny Cates right now, but I think he's pretty popular.
It's probably somebody I think Matthew Rosenberg is kind of getting there, and maybe this Marvel Knights will push him over. I think he's got a lot of talent. Christopher Sabella has been throwing so much stuff out there, something's bound to hit. He's been doing stuff for a while now. He was part of the Snyder's writer program at DC, and he's doing a lot of stuff right now.
What's he doing for Valiant right now?
I don't know.
Was he doing Ninja K?
No, that was Christmas.
That was Christmas Gage. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, he's doing Crowded right now. He's doing Shanghai Red. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I just have a feeling, just with the amount of stuff he's putting out, something's gonna hit for him. I don't know. Artist wise, you never know. You never know who's gonna take off. I think a lot of times it's somebody who's a little different, and then completely going against that is somebody like Jason Fabok. I don't think has done enough to get some recognition, but I remember that Justice League stuff he did at the end of John's run was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we really haven't seen much of him since then, so I don't know what happened there or why. But I think somebody like Sean Gordon Murphy was just a unique boy, a different look that took off, and I can't think of off the top of my head somebody who's unique and is gonna explode that I've seen.
You think Mark Russell has another level he can hit?
I think the problem with him, though, is he's...
I don't know if he'd want to do anything, like, really mainstream.
That's the problem. He's so off the beaten path to that audience.
Lone Ranger's coming out.
Right, that's next week. Yeah, I love his voice and everything. I love his style, but I just don't know if it would translate to a detective or a Captain America or something. I like what he does, and I hope he keeps doing it. I don't know if that would necessarily translate to.
Right.
Well, I think the other problem was if he got a detective or he got an action or something like that, they wouldn't let him do.
Right.
What the? Yeah. It's
yeah. Like I think this Lone Ranger.
Here's one that's been around for a little while, but I feel like he's just recently gotten a lot more popular. Is James Tynion.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's been writing for a while now, but I feel like only in the past couple years has he become much more popular in the mainstream.
The artists are hard to pick too because you have so many and like nobody gets a chance to do like a real run. So it's like random issue done by this person and then this person. And it's hard to keep track on even who did what issue, let alone who might be the next breakout.
Yeah, like the artist I was a big fan of who seems like he's getting a lot more exposure now. Juan Ferreira, he's doing stuff with Marvel now. Unfortunately, rather than be with DC, but Stepan Sedgwick, I think, is getting a lot more popular.
He's been
recently.
Around a long time.
He has, but I feel like recently is when he's starting to become more well known.
Yeah,
I like seeing that he's Howard Porter, who's been around forever, but it seems like he's getting back into doing more steady work, which I really like. Whatever he does, Flash or
his covers are great.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Would you say Brian Wood is superstar?
I think he was. I think his star's gone down a little, especially after some of the allegations that came out against him.
And he has a lot of his own kind of creator-owned stuff, too.
What allegations
came out? There was some stuff about him at some conventions making unwarranted passes. This was a while ago.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. What should Bendis' next DC project be?
Doesn't he have enough?
I feel that way. It's like, let's get some of these moving. Not Superman, but I mean, like, get his creator-owned stuff done.
Because
a lot of them
he's
are minis.
He's got all that going on.
Let's get that going on, going.
I am surprised at how many came out at the same time.
Yeah. Well, my only guess is they had been written and in a box for a while.
Probably.
That he's been talking about and just never came out at Marvel, and finally he said, well, here, I have this, and we already have, two issues done, and we have this, and we have this, and DC went. Yeah, I was really surprised they didn't space that out more, that they hit so quick. My guess is that Scarlet was probably done years ago and just never came out. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I really can't. It's kind of be, he's going to be the kind of guy who, I want to do this. He's got that, the way he came over. I'm not saying he has carte blanche, but he can write his kind of his own ticket.
Well, I think the fact that they gave him both Superman books at the same time kind of defined that.
And I thought they would be a little more unified than they've been. And that was the reason they gave him. He wanted to tell a story kind of two ways, but they're both very different books. So.
I like to see him do some kind of team book, but not Justice League, because I've been liking the way that it's going. Maybe like Teen Titans or something like that, I think he could probably do decent with.
I thought an interesting one for him, but they just announced it in there, is the new Batman and the Outsiders. That would have been an interesting take for a team book that's not necessarily taking over a main book away from somebody else. But they just announced, I don't remember who's doing that one.
The Brian Hill guy who...
Okay.
He just got done doing that last detective run.
Okay, so he carried that over.
Okay. The two issues he did.
Well, it was like four, like that whole black.
Oh, that
line.
Arc. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like that arc. Okay.
Yeah. So he's doing the Justice League or the Outsiders, which I hope at some point they get Metamorpho in there. Like that's the only thing I don't like about him. Being in the Terrifics is not having him in the Outsiders. It's hard to have an Outsiders book without having Metamorpho in there.
I hear you.
And then the last one, best pizza place in Pittsburgh and Chicago. I was always a big fan of Lou Malnati's in Chicago. That was our go-to. So that's my vote for Chicago. Pittsburgh, I really can't answer. I mean, we do, you know, and we used to do Pizza Outlet, which I guess is now Vicelli's. And
so for just pizza, not talking about the other, like, you know, side items, but just pizza, I would have to say Santoro's in Castle Shannon is my favorite. The only downside, they don't have wings, so sometimes I'm craving wings. I can't get Santoro's, but their pizza, I think, is my favorite. Other good ones, like Fiori's, Minio's, Pizza Badamo. I hear Molly's in Dormont's really good. What about you, Pat?
Not my town.
But you've lived here. You eat pizza here.
But usually it's like pizza or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of pizza up in Pittsburgh.
No, Fiori's is good. I do like that.
I forget, there's one down near me. I don't remember its name, but down in Peters. Right by the library. I forget the name of it. We haven't gone there in a long time, but that was really good.
Dave?
It's an hour away from here. From my dad's from Manesson, PA. La Ida's. Little place, La Ida's. Best pizza I ever had.
All right, so the best in Pittsburgh is Santoro's, and outside of Pittsburgh is La Ida's.
There we go.
La Ida's?
La Ida's, yeah. L-A-E-D-A apostrophe S. I hope that's right.
You know what? Just the other question. Mike, we will get back to you. We'll digest your email a little bit more, and we'll get back to you on that. He just said, what did we think about Marvel and talking about some of their big hits and things that he's a little more disappointed in and stuff. It was a long email, so we'll digest that and get back to it.
It's a well-thought-out email.
It was, and we don't want to half-ass it.
That's a different
place. That's how it works.
Fair enough. Okay, so, Pat.
Yeah.
Did you read anything last week?
I did.
I only read four. I saw.
All right.
Well, that didn't come out last week, did it?
It was a decent week.
Was it?
Yeah. I guess we'll start with the Schlong Halloween.
It's the Batwing.
Batman Dan. So, obviously, the big story, or, you know, the average story.
The meaty story?
Yeah.
It's a very girthy tale.
Yeah. it was a really odd take on Batman's
Wood angle.
Batman's upbringing, the relationship.
I feel like you just hit the nail on the head.
Ouch. Yeah. So. No, the stuff with Thomas and his mistress. There's no way to talk about this book. That's why.
I thought the story was fantastic.
The book had Batman's penis in it. Let's just get out.
He was walking across a room naked. I'm sure that's what the script said. Artist said, well.
Like there was a zoom in.
Yeah.
But. Did anyone here, like, care?
No. And that's. Had it been Harley Quinn topless, no one would have said a damn thing.
That's the thing. Like, people are up in arms. Like, you have no problem with, you know, tits in the books.
Moves.
Tits is not bad.
It is. It's one of the seven deadly. It's one of the seven words.
Dirty words, not deadly words.
Dirty words. Yeah. Carlin's dirty words. You can't say that.
But that's on television, not a podcast.
I feel like that list should be updated for 2018.
That's true.
Tits would not be on there anymore.
Toots, tits, tits. I know the routine.
Yeah.
If I say it two more times, they show up.
It's like Beetlejuice.
Or Candyman.
But it's true. People would not have cared at all.
No.
If that was the case. But Batman's penis. Like, I saw retailers saying, I never would have ordered this if I knew that was going to be in there. Like, it was a mature book.
Some of the stuff that I read, I understand. Hey, you should have black bagged it, or, you know, you should have bagged it, or at least we should have known just because if a kid would have grabbed it and opened it,
he would have had to look so closely.
Here's the thing.
I get it.
Should they black bag every single book that shows a nipple in it then? A female nipple? Because that's a lot of image books all of a sudden.
It is, but it's Batman.
Doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
It doesn't. No, because the book was clearly marked as mature. So if you're a retailer and you're that concerned about it, then you can put it in a different section, or you can put it up higher. Like you have ways to get around it. No one should have been surprised that that had adult content in it.
No, and I don't think anyone cared about adult content, but full frontal nudity.
Then you put it somewhere else.
I get it.
Would it have been as big of a problem if it was somebody else's dong? It's beside, like, you know, like if he broke into like a sex working place or something, and some guy was running naked.
Probably not. Would people be upset? Or are they upset today with Dr. Manhattan's dong?
Was there? Oh my gosh!
I heard there was, but still,
DC Comics taking on a whole.
You have to anticipate seeing dong when there's Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true.
It's his trademark.
Is that his logo?
Should be.
Oh, is that the circle and the die? I see
he
where you're going
the
there.
Dr. Manhattan. But yeah, probably because Batman. They probably thought, because, well, kids will grab a Batman book. Well, then put it somewhere they can't grab it. You knew it was a mature book.
Yeah. Better have it, like, on the counter or
something. Dear parents, it's called Batman Damned and has a really scary cover, so.
Now.
Ooh, would the kid even have cared?
Did the penis further the story? No. It didn't really serve a purpose being in there. But, whatever. Who cares?
The kid probably would have been like, ha ha, pee pee, and went on to the next page. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure they've seen far worse.
Yeah. It's whatever. People are getting bent out of shape about it.
Story-wise, I thought the story was really good about the Joker being found dead, or possibly the Joker being found dead.
And that art was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I
love Lieberman.
Constantine showing up and trying to help Batman figure out what happened, and then Deadman. I did not know Deadman was going to be in it with a really cool artistic take on Deadman.
That being just muscle?
Yeah, and just the effect he had on the people he inhabited, I thought that was really, really well done.
So,
Azzarello's back, baby.
When Batman was acting like the homeless guy and they were out on the street, was the chick that was doing three-card Monty supposed to be Zatanna?
Yes.
Okay. And that's fine, but, like, that was Constantine. You knew that was Constantine. That was definitely Deadman. She had the top hat, but she wasn't Zatanna. It was almost like she was just some street hustler who had a top hat and fishnets. It's like, I knew who she was, but, like,
but they've depicted her as top hat and fishnets. I'm not a fan of that outfit in normal continuity, but this, with her being just a street hustler, it kind of worked. But yeah,
it seems like, okay, some of the DC characters are going to be kind of how we know them from mainline continuity, and some aren't. And that's why at first I was like, is that who that's supposed to be, or is it just, you know, some street hustler that?
But I think different characters have signature styles, signature items. Like with Constantine, you have to have the trench coat.
Yeah,
like that's a key part of who he is. With that man, you have to have that whole, like, outfit.
Yeah,
and the way they did it, where it wasn't really an outfit, but yeah, you have to have that. Zatanna, it's really like got the top hat. That's the.
Yeah, that's how you know it's her, but that's, I don't know. When I read it, I was like, I think that's who that is, but he didn't actually say who it was, so apparently he doesn't know her in this continuity, at least doesn't know him.
Pretty confident someone doing street magic with a top hat.
That's probably her, yeah. And the Enchantress was, like, super creepy.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Yeah, movie creepy, yeah.
She wasn't creepy in the movie. I didn't think she was. I thought she was strange, but not creepy.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was Batman Damned. Mr. Miracle number 11.
That was a good book.
I am so upset that this is ending after next issue.
Veggie Tree.
That was awesome. I laughed out loud when I saw that.
And what did we learn about Darkseid?
He likes carrots.
He double dips.
Oh, he double dips, too.
Wait, who's going to tell Darkseid not to double dip?
Yeah, but he always seemed Scott like the Free. Kind of guy that would double dip.
But that was just, because you're just reading, and you're like, what? He's giving up the kid, and then things change. And then what he stabbed him with.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That was something.
I still don't know how this is going to end.
No, not at all.
Like, when Metron showed up, and I'm like,
right, right. What? Yep. And now it's almost like saying, okay, so that's how you would do it. Okay, now let's see if it really happens. Yeah.
So it's like Clue.
Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah, but it's almost like this is the start of a new story, not the end of the one we...
It almost felt to me like we were... It was a different universe. And then he was bringing him over to...
The real one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something.
But yeah, I don't know how... That one issue is going to be... It's going to have a lot of stuff in it.
Well, I do have 9 panels, so...
That's true.
Is it a double size, or is
nothing
it...
Nothing I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've probably got 3 months before it comes out anyway, so...
Come on, Mitch. Get drawn.
You know what, though? With the quality it's been...
Oh, yeah. That was so
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so good.
And then Batman 55.
That nobody's talking about. Spencer! How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it because it seems like they're already not, like, they're changing it already, just with, like, the creative
Scott Lobdell is going to tell excellent stories.
So,
I've heard he was good, he's been good on Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah, but Nightwing and Red Hood are very different people.
They are.
And I mean, like, you know, the Grayson thing, you know, people were saying before... It ended up being a really good book, so... I don't know. I always try to at least wait to see where it goes a little bit before trying to become too outraged about how...
Spencer, on this podcast, we judge way in advance.
Okay.
Yeah.
They shot your guy in the head. And Batman was going, no!
That's why I'm you know, in support, I'm wearing, you know... I have
you wear that every time.
Not every time. Okay.
Only when his reverse Flash shirt's dirty.
Yeah.
And his Arrow shirt.
He probably has a black armband on under his jacket.
Well, he's not dead. Just lobotomized.
No, but I...
It was a good issue.
Oh, I thought it was a great issue.
You know, a lot more with you know, Grayson just trying to, you know, cheer up Batman.
5-1, end of the second?
Jesus. Buffalo, what do you expect?
Sorry.
That's all right. Like the quips, that, you know, it's much harder to make quips when you're punching people.
Term.
Then, like, with the, like, I don't ever think I called you chum. You did.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. And just, like, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. At first, I was like, I don't know about this, but then the way they wrapped it up was fine.
With the headshot?
Yeah.
Not the book. The chum segment.
I thought it was kind of bad. But then they shot Dick Grayson in the head at the end. It was like, all right, I'm happy with this now.
I mean, this book hasn't been great lately, so, you know, let's reboot. Reboot Dick.
He's talking about a whole bunch of Dick this episode.
Yep.
That's our Josh.
Yeah. So that's what I read.
Spencer.
Well, let's go with the Nightwing.
Now, this was wrapping up the prior arc, right?
Yeah, the, with, but there's still, a bit of story, like, because I think this is only, like, issue, like, 49.
Sure.
Something like that, yeah. So I think there's at least, like, one more issue to this. Before they get into, you know, what happened in Batman. But It wrapped up the story pretty nicely. Sinister ended up, you know, helping him win to, you know, the race that they were having on that crazy island with everybody from all over the, you know, universe and that kind of stuff. Solid art. It looks like the guy who ran the being that ran the race is gonna try to help Grayson save his friends from that nanotech monster like technology like thing. So, wrapping up the story arc, interested to see where the title's gonna be going forward with all this stuff going on. Justice League.
I read Legion of Doom.
What? Legion of Doom.
It was good.
Yeah, it was just mostly just Lex talking to the Batman Who Laughs and just like how, like, oh, you think you have the upper hand, I have the upper hand. Oh, well, you think you have the upper hand, I actually have the upper hand.
And Joker and Grodd actually thinking that maybe we shouldn't be messing around with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever Joker's like, hey.
When Joker is the voice of reason in the room, you need to leave.
But even still, it was I liked it. I thought it was a pretty solid issue. And what I think next issue starts the some kind of like Aquaman
one. Drowned Earth.
So that seems like it should be good too. And then I'll talk about the Amazing Spider-Man annual. This story takes place during the where Peter had the Venom symbiote on the first time around, and where he was taking control of him while he was sleeping. So it's just kind of like a story that we never heard before during that time period, where you get a lot of like inner monologue from the symbiote, which was kind of cool, because at least when the stuff that I read, you don't get a lot of stuff from that actual creature. I don't know how they're doing it, like in the new Venom books and stuff, if that's like something that they've been playing around with or not, but it's the first time I read anything with that recently, so he's taking control of Peter's body where he's sleeping. He's trying to save people, but a lot of times goes too far with, like, really beating people up and stuff like that. He keeps on referring to everybody as meat. Like, he has to help the weak meat from the stronger meat that one, you know. And eventually, throughout these couple nights of him going out, he becomes friends with this, like, neighborhood kid who ends up getting, like, kidnapped by Hammerhead and his crew. So the symbiote helps him, and, like, it ends with Peter going to Mr. Fantastic to have him analyze the suit and having to use, like, a sonic gun to blast it off of him, and they put it in that vault underneath, like, in the basement until what I think is, like, the beginning of the Web of Spider-Man series back in the day, whenever he gets it on him again. Nice little annual, just you know, one off story. And that's it. I talk about X-Men Gold, but nothing really happened.
It was the last issue.
Yeah, nothing really happened.
They're collecting all twelve issues in a trade?
Yep.
For $25.
Yep.
It's actually not bad.
Nope.
Mr. Miracle.
Booyah. Or you could wait for the deluxe hardcover.
I just get the trade.
Your boat. Dave.
Avengers, number 8. This is one of those take a breath, get the team together issues that introduces their new headquarters.
Sweet. Is it a mansion or a tower?
Or a hobbit? It's a celestial.
Oh.
And they live inside of one?
It is Avengers Mountain. At the North Pole, and they're living inside.
That's convenient to get to where the problems are.
I wonder if he's able to with Superman.
It's the they're living inside. I think it's called the Progenitor, the first celestial
okay.
to visit Earth.
Hope he doesn't mind.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like. It seems like he's dead. He's not okay. alive or not like.
They don't. They often come back. Though.
I know.
That's pretty cool. It is cool.
So the stories. Stories told through Ghost Rider's eyes because he thinks it's going to be fun in games as he arrives at Avengers Mountain. And.
On his mammoth? Oh, I'm sorry, that was the issue before.
No, not on his mammoth. Yeah, he just has his car.
So he drove to the North Pole?
The mammoth was more likely.
Yeah, it would have been easier.
So we have the teams. We have the seven members of the team, and the new chairman is.
Matt?
Black Panther. And there's an eighth chair for somebody else, but Doctor Strange, they haven't said yet.
Ooh.
Doctor Strange is just a reserve member. Oh. And there's we have some
is
stuff.
Is everybody a reserve member?
Well, I don't know. It's not the Hickman Avengers anymore, so not everyone is Avenger anymore. But it kind of felt like an old school Avengers issue. We have some stuff going on. There's something going on between Thor and She-Hulk.
Ooh.
And then Namor shows up at the end to cause some trouble.
It's a theme.
So.
The podcast theme.
Yeah. Black Badge.
I did not read that, but I wanted to. I really like number one.
It was really good. Picks up right after the end of the first issue. They're on the Trans-Siberian Railway right after getting out of South Korea. And they have to free a political prisoner at a gulag in Siberia. They're on this train, and their plan is... They're on the last car in the train, and their plan is to disengage the last two cars and then disappear into the wilderness. But some other scouts show up from Canada, Royal Canadian Mountie Scouts.
Those Canadians.
And they still, they're there in the second car, but Kenny, he still wants to release the cars, and some of the other kids protest. But I won't give away what's going on with these Canadian kids and what the twist is. But
you won't tell us what it's about?
A boot?
No, I won't tell you what it's about. With there, but there's another flashback in this issue that's pretty cool.
One of the other kids. Okay.
Mitz grew up on a farm by herself. She lost both her parents, and she's taught herself to use a bow and arrow. I like those. Seem to be doing flashbacks every issue now, but it's really good. I've read some reviews that some people think it's moving too slow, but I think it was really good. Black Hammer, Age of Doom number 5. I'm gonna try to talk about this without saying anything about it, because all the questions, many questions, are answered in this issue. What happened to Black Hammer? Where the farm is, why they had to go there, it's all answered. But it does start with Lucy, Black Hammer's daughter, showing how she got to the farm. She gets a call from Dr. Starr, and he has some information for her. Dr. Starr had his own miniseries that ended a month or two ago. Really cool how all the characters react to the news of what's going on, these human reactions. Especially Abraham Slam, and because they're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't place of what they should do. But it's really good. It's really good, and it takes it in a new direction here. And can't wait to see the next issue. It's pretty good for not talking about it.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And lastly. Oh, Ice Cream Man, number 7. Story's called My Little Poltergeist. It's about a little girl, Lucy, who loses her friend Kayla to cancer. And she thinks like she's an invisible friend now. She keeps seeing her and her parents, so she keeps seeing her dead friend. And even though she's not represented in the comic and all through the art, it's just empty space. But the parents worried about her, and then in the middle of the night, Kayla tells Lucy to go to the shack, and it's the ice cream man's shack, and some crazy stuff goes on there. And there's another confrontation between ice cream man and the cowboy, which I want more information on what's going on between them. They seem to be stringing this out a little bit too much. But it does end on hopeful notes, which many of these issues do not. But I really like this series. It's really good. And that's all I got.
That's it.
Okay. The only other one I have, well, we'll let Josh finish up this week. The only other one I have is Return of Wolverine, which I know you didn't read.
How do you know?
How
do you know what I read?
Did you read it?
Well, no. You know if I read it or not. I buy it from you.
Okay. Basically, it's Wolverine post, I don't know, coming out of the ground. And he doesn't really remember, he doesn't know who he is, he doesn't know what's going on. He's wounded, and he was in this lab, and where they were trying to bring all these other things back to life. There was like a saber-toothed tiger, some other things that he was fighting. And he gets out, and like I said, he doesn't know who he is. This one lady helps him because he's Wolverine, and he always does what's right. And he has a basic sense of right and wrong, but he didn't do it. Wasn't helping her because he was Wolverine, because he didn't know what that meant. And it just kind of went along that path. I'm just kind of confused, only because it doesn't seem to relate at all to where Legacy left him. We're in the Marvel Legacy one-shot that came out last September, October, where he was in the beer truck and stopped a robbery and then had the time gem from the Infinity Gauntlet. So it was like, okay, it's just things aren't kind of adding up. So I'm not sure quite where this is going. Hopefully by the end of this, we have Wolverine back with his hot claws. But we'll see where this is going. But yeah, it was just kind of a little confusing issue just in regards to where is this fitting in with what they've already told us. So that's it. That's all I got.
Have you read any of the miniseries?
I didn't read any of those. I did read the wrap-up, the Dead End one, which kind of summarized all the miniseries, where basically they couldn't find him. And then at the end of that, had him where he was captured by Persephone. And then this is kind of looks like it's taking place before that, before he was captured.
So Logan's fully back now.
Right.
Is Professor X back?
Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, and...
That was in Red,
yeah,
I think.
He is in the body of
Phantom
X.
Okay.
Okay.
And not everybody, like, hardly anybody knows.
I see.
He took over his body.
Okay.
And is, like, going by the name, like, Mr. X.
But he knows he's Professor X. Or
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, what do I have left? Aquaman, number 14. That's the end of the Sick Atlantis crossover with Suicide Squad. It was actually good. Yeah, it was.
How like the actual cross? Did it feel like a crossover between the two books, or was it just like this was Aquaman's book, so it's Aquaman's?
No, it felt like one story arc that was split between two books.
Okay.
So like each issue, it didn't feel like it. Like we're just focusing on these characters. It felt like a normal story arc that happened to reside in two different books. But it was good. It was a fun book. It definitely like firmly established Mira as being badass queen of Atlantis, and her like the way she approached the U.S. ambassador when she discovered the plot against Atlantis.
So did they sink Atlantis?
They did not. They did not. They,
so did the head get exploded then? Third mission, right?
No, one person got exploded. Who was with the Suicide Squad, and he was unwillingly going with the guy who was there. It was kind of like Satanas, who was replacing Enchantress, who was really trying to complete the mission and set off this nuke and blow up Atlantis to further his, you know, cause. And this guy, Master Jailer, was going along with him reluctantly and trying to get away the whole time, and finally like, gets away and finds like Aquaman and his, you know, allies, it's like King Shark and that whole crew. And then they convince him, like, oh, you know, you can help us get out of this like magical barrier because you can unlock everything. You can, you know, turn things around and be a hero. And he really just wanted to try and make some. He got arrested because he was trying to make some money to make a better life for him and like his I believe daughter. And he says, "All right, I'll help you guys out, be a hero." And he ends up being the one that can stop this whole nuke by going off, but gets himself blown up in the process. But it was done in a funny way, so everyone's happy.
Oh, except the daughter.
Yeah, except the daughter. It's fine. Harley Quinn's in the tower. He was a hero, so. But it was good. It was a fun crossover. I feel like it didn't lean heavily towards, you know, Aquaman or Suicide Squad. It was very much a collaboration of the two properties. It was cool getting to see King Shark and Killer Croc duke it out.
Oh, yeah.
Waller definitely was, you know, playing a bit of a long game here with this. So I guess Harley had a secondary mission where she was supposed to tell Mira about the whole plot to sneak Atlantis, because it was like this rogue general that was making Waller do it. So it looks like Waller's trying to get on, you know, Mira's, you know, good side. Imagine she's up to something else. No, it was fun, and I enjoyed it. And then, let's see, Green Lanterns 55. So did you read it, or?
Yeah, that's okay. The one with the Superman on the cover, or with Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, the one that Colin really enjoyed, yeah. The cover, where Cyborg Superman was sitting there with his Green Lantern emblem on his chest.
Oh, yeah,
that
was a great cover.
Yeah.
That's a cover to make you want to pick up a book.
I agree.
Did that come out last week? Mm-hmm.
Oh. I caught up on all those issues I was behind today just so I could talk to you about it.
I read it. I just didn't realize it was last week it came out. But
I
read it, though.
So I was behind on this book because I heard that issue 50 jumped ahead of the Hal Jordan and Green Lantern core book. So I didn't want to spoil anything, which I guess I could have just read because it really didn't spoil anything that happened in that book. Aside from the fact that Hal kind of went off to do his own thing for a little while. But so I ended up getting caught up pretty quickly. I read most of them today before coming here, and it's a really good arc. It's a really fun arc. So essentially, there's something going on with some of the rings, and it looks like...
For a while.
And it looks like at first maybe it's just Simon Baz's ring, possibly Jessica Cruz's ring, we're not sure.
Because her ring was messing up in the previous talk before that.
Yeah, but her ring was really almost like warning her about Simon Baz, it seemed like. Where Simon Baz's ring was definitely taking orders that like Guy Gardner was giving and then changing them. So if Guy Gardner said, like, we're going to hold back and attack from a distance, Baz's ring would say, you know, storm the gates, no mercy, whatever. So we definitely knew something was up with his. And we find out that something infected the power battery. And Simon's ring is sending him on some mission to Earth, telling him it's, you know, the Guardians have the secret mission for him. What's going on Earth directly affects what's happening on MOGO, because MOGO, they can't talk to him. There's these storms happening. Like, things are not great. The rest of the Lanterns are tied up on this the planet Palenos? Where all these aquatic creatures and inhabitants are being slaughtered. Their Green Lantern, Penelopus, I think his name was? Penelopes?
Yeah.
He was killed brutally by that... what are you looking at?
I'm scrolling through Twitter.
Jeez.
Where's Tim Seeley? What do you want me to do?
You're scrolling through Twitter.
Is Tim Seeley?
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense then. So the Lanterns are all tied up back on MOGO. There's a Guardian dead. The Guardians are trying to figure out what's going on there. They can't talk to Mogo. They can't communicate with the Lanterns. Baz appeared to now have abandoned the Lanterns and went back. And then... Oh, wow.
Are you happy now? I'm scrolling through Twitter.
I mean, I was happy before, too, to be honest.
Sorry.
Sean Gordon Murphy, Asriel, announcement.
That's definitely by him. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the previous issue, Baz has to break into the Fortress of Solitude because Superman is the one that called out to him for help. He needs him to break in. No one else can help him out. And he breaks in. It's Cyborg Superman in there. Hank Henshaw, Cyborg Superman, trying to get free. And we find out that when he was put in like this dream state by Superman to kind of just, you know, live peacefully, his mind was able to, you know, reach out and ended up, you know, infecting the power battery, and through just his mind was able to, you know, bring together this force of the Ravagers and,
so I didn't
and
know, like,
Eon.
He had like a his like, abilities like that. I didn't know
he
didn't.
He said once he was able to like sit with the crystals in the Fortress of Solitude, gave him that ability to then project out even further.
But I mean, just that you would be able to take over like technology. Period. I didn't know that was.
I mean, he's Cyborg.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Him
and Cyborg should get into a fight.
They should. But so this issue is when he finally started, you know, really taking it to now the Guardians, and came popping out of the power battery, and also went and finally encountered like the Ravagers.
Did they say how he was able to kill the Guardian in the beginning?
Yeah, the Phantom Ring.
But
when he had infected the power battery,
yeah,
he learned about the Phantom Ring being in existence on Mogo still, and was able to then get himself like the infection spread to the Phantom Ring, and was able to control the Phantom Ring. When he got the Guardian to take the Phantom Ring out, then he controlled the Phantom Ring. The Phantom Ring killed the Guardian.
No, I think I remember that. No,
yeah.
You're saying it.
And then whenever Baz ran in to see what was going on and help the Guardian, that's how the Phantom Ring went onto his finger. And he said that he used the same thing they use whenever they're walking around with civilians, where the ring turns invisible and weightless, so it's like it's not there. Which I always wondered about that, why people don't just say, like, nice green lantern ring you got on your hand there. So that's how Baz didn't even know that he was wearing it. And then Baz essentially then brought it to Cyborg Superman. But it's been good. So now at this point, the Lanterns have taken the inhabitants of that planet to a new planet. Then they came back to Mogo. The Ravagers are now attacking Mogo full force. The Guardians are dealing with Cyborg Superman.
And the
Baz is all jacked up, gets a gun again.
Yeah.
On his hip.
And the Lanterns are getting low on their power for their ring, but they
can't recharge. And Cyborg Superman can control the rings. The only ring he can't control is Hal Jordan, because Hal hadn't powered up in a while because he was off looking at sunsets. So.
Did you see the in the back of some of the DC books today, they had a preview for the new Green Lantern book? For that, the Morrison.
I didn't read anything or look through any books yet. Excited.
Yeah, should be good.
Should be good. And the last one I will mention is Britannia, The Lost Eagles of Rome. I really like these miniseries, these Peter Milligan minis. So in this one, Antonius... And Aquila, who is the gladiator from the previous miniseries, are off looking for the three like lost eagles that this Roman legion was carrying and were stolen when they were in like, Germania. So, with the eagles missing, Nero is fearful that the people of Rome are going to revolt against him and can think of him as weak since he lost these eagles. So, he sends the detectioner out to find them. He doesn't go where he's supposed to go. Ends up going to Egypt because he thinks that this has something to do with the general and the scouts that lost the eagles in the first place. And finds out that the general who is in charge of this legion that, that lost these eagles is plotting against Nero and is hoping that Rome overthrows him because they lose faith in him. And then this general who's now like the, you know, governor of, you know, Egypt,
yeah,
will have the most power and be able to take over Rome at that point. At the same time, Nero is angry that they went to Egypt instead of Germania, so he sends assassins after Antonius and Aquila. So they're dealing with both fronts where the actual culprits in Egypt and Nero after them. Nero is getting more and more paranoid and is brutally, you know, burning anyone who he views as enemies and using them as almost like tiki torches for a party. So there was, I think, 8 or 9 Christians that he burnt to light up their orgy dance party they had. Which, you know, that's what you do, I guess.
Yeah.
And they find out that working with his general in Egypt is this guy who is claiming to be the Ramses reincarnate, and he wants to, you know, be places like the new pharaoh of Egypt once this general, you know, his plan comes to fruition and he takes over Rome. So they think that he might have the eagles in his like vaults, so they go down and get caught as they're trying to look through these vaults and are told about this curse, and they don't believe in the curse. They break this vault and there's all these locusts, and suddenly there's all these, you know, boils and looks like the plague on their bodies. And we find out that they have been intentionally spreading this plague and creating these, you know, horrific, you know, symptoms on the inhabitants of Egypt with these awful, you know, boils and looks like rotting flesh to try and keep people out of Egypt, to keep them from discovering what's going on. But one issue left, but this is good. The only issue I have, what? Something I'm saying or what you're reading? Okay. The only issue I have with Britannia is everything else in the Valiant Universe feels connected. And this book feels super disconnected from everything else.
And it seems like they could throw Galad in there. Or
that's the thing, too. Like, they could have, like, just these little, like, throwaway, you know, oh, I know who that is. Doesn't impact the story at all.
Yeah.
But it maybe I've missed something. Maybe they have done that. But it just it feels very much
Galad as a
off of
legionnaire
its own.
Makes sense. Why not throw him in there? Or, you know, have
Or Eric.
Yeah.
Because he existed.
Well, I mean, any of the brothers, really, you could easily...
No, Exo Manowar.
No. I
yeah.
Right, but I'm thinking any of the brothers you could have thrown in there and had it make some sense. Yeah.
And maybe there has been. Maybe one of the previous two miniseries, I missed it, but yeah, I don't think there's been any real like connection there. But it's good. I really enjoy it. That's the one book that feels kind of, you know, on its own island from the rest of the Valiant Universe. And that's it for me.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
What's coming out next week, Colin?
Stuff. Some books.
Books and stuff.
We have, it's starting of October, which is foil month at DC. So we start a Batman 56, the repercussions of the headshot in a fancy foil cover issue. We have the Batman Blank comic. This is kind of a neat thing they're doing. 24-hour comic day is sometime in October. So DC has kind of jumped on that and is creating blank comics, not just with a blank cover, but blank insides. And it just has the Batman logo, and they're also doing it for Superman and Wonder Woman, and those are coming out next week. Batman the Max is next week. That's by Sam Keith. Batman White Knight, the trade, is coming out, so I'm excited about that. Battlestar Galactica Classic is going back to the classic Battlestar Galactica. It's a zero, it's a quarter issue, so come get some of that. Blackbird is a new one from Sam Humphries and Jen Bartel. Border Town number 2, number 1 was a big success. Cosmic Ghost Rider, because Donnie Cates can do no wrong. DC Nation number 5, the little giveaway DC magazine. Dead Rabbit is a new one from Jerry Duggan and... blanking on his name. Guy who did Hitman. Totally blanking, but that's a new one from Image.
Death Orb. I just like the name of that. I thought that was an interesting one. Deathstroke number 36 is following up the Batman storyline with an Arkham storyline for him. Errand Boys number 1. This is a new one from Image. Green Arrow is not only getting a foil cover, but it's also a Heroes in Crisis tie-in issue. We have Green Lanterns 56 as a foil issue.
Are the foil covers normal?
Yep, that's the regular. That's the regular cover.
Oh.
Yep. Infinity Wars Sleepwalker is a 4-part miniseries, because who doesn't want more Sleepwalker? James Bond Origin number 2, number 1 did really well. Juke Joint, this was a new one. This is an Image book by the creator that did another book. Oh, man, I'm blanking on people right now.
Yeah, there was a preview of that in something I read the other day. It was interesting.
Okay. Justice League number 9 is a Drowned to Earth tie-in. A lot of those are, which is, what's that going between?
Which
Drowned Earth for Justice League?
Oh, it's a one shot.
Oh, okay.
It's a one shot. Then they do the story, and then I think it ends with another one shot.
Okay. Lollipop Kids is a new one from Aftershock. Lone Ranger number 1. This is the one written by Mark Russell. I'm intrigued to see how he has some fun with this one. Nightwing 50, which I'm guessing is wrapping up that storyline. So it must be the one before. Lobotomized. This one's for Pat. Rainbow Bright number 1 is coming out. Mm-hmm. And for Spencer, Shatterstar number 1, because he's a big Shatterstar fan.
I am not.
No. Sparrowhawk. I'm not sure who that one's by. Spook House Volume 2 number 1. This is from Eric Powell and his group. Star Wars Tales from Vader's Castle is a 5-part miniseries from IDW, more along the kids' line. Superior Octopus is a Spider-Geddon tie-in book.
I saw a thing where they're bringing back Superior Spider-Man.
Well, yeah. Superior, yeah, but Superior Octopus.
No, what oh, they're bringing, like actual... Oh, okay. Because
if it was good once, it'll be good again.
Yep.
TMNT Macro Series Donatello, they're kind of revisiting that old thing they did. Typhoid Fever Spider-Man number 1. Umbrella Academy is getting a new series finally, Hotel Oblivion. I think that's coming out as a TV show. The series Umbrella Academy, so it's nice to be getting more of that. Unexpected is giving us a foil cover. New Walking Dead with a Sienkiewicz variant. The What Ifs are starting. We have What If Spider-Man number 1 and What If X-Men number 1. Wonder Woman Justice League Dark Witching Hour is kicking off. The Wonder Woman blank comic, and then DC the X-Men Black series has started with Magneto number 1 being the first one of that. So that's what's coming out next week. Also next week is Book Club on Friday. We're doing Batman Dark Knight, A True Story about Paul Dini and what happened with him. So that's coming up. That's about it. We're wrapping up. Sunday is the last day of September. So we'll be wrapping up Batman month. So get double points on all Batman books. And I don't know what we're doing next month yet. I'll think about that during my car drive down to Baltimore. So, as always, you can get a hold of me. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Please ask questions. Anything you want to know, I'm happy to answer. And I think that's it. Pat!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.